Anybody here like steak? Okay. Good, because I'm going to teach on healing tonight, but first I need to butcher a few sacred cows. I don't want to cause any offense about anything here. But I go to churches and I see people all over the world who come to church for healing. And they leave the same way they come in. Come in all fired up, hoping, praying. A lot of hooping and hollering going on in the church. A lot of screaming and yelling. But there's something I noticed today. You might think this has nothing to do with healing, but I'm going to show you it does. You ever get in an argument with somebody? Have you ever noticed that the person that's yelling the loudest is usually the one in the wrong?
That's true.
Well, I just don't know how to put this any other way. I see sometimes I go to churches and I see a lot of screaming and yelling at the devil. It's like we're trying to work ourselves up into a place that God already said we were.
Amen.
I was telling Pastor today that I love to minister in black churches because the people are so spiritual and they love the Lord and they want to hear from God. But I haven't learned to yell with them yet. I haven't. And he said, well, you know, sometimes we just try to emphasize things. And I think that's good. I understand that. But I'll tell you what, I don't think I've ever yelled at the devil. Why yell at the devil? Somebody said today to me, he says, I was about to be an overcomer. I already am an overcomer.
Amen.
I'm not about to get there. And I'm not going to let the devil draw me into battle when the dust settled 2,000 years ago. And guess what? My book says he lost.
Amen.
I'm not going to let him try to get me in a war.
Right.
I have entered into rest.
That's right.
I don't yell at the devil. I can't find any place in the Scripture that Jesus screamed at the devil. You know, I was reading Pastor today a passage about a blind man that came. And I said, suppose we read it like this. And Jesus screamed at the man and spit in his eye. No, it doesn't say. He screamed at him. He says, and he said. And the demoniac, on the other hand, that was in the graveyard, he came screaming. Jesus wasn't screaming. When Jesus told him, come out, I don't think Jesus had to scream. He came out. When the disciples were on the boat in the storm, who was doing all the screaming? The disciples. What was Jesus doing? Sleep on the pillow. I can hear it now. They came to him, you know, he says, oh, Jesus, Master, do you not care that we perish? You know, water crashing over the boat and the boat going every which way. And I imagine they came yelling to him, Jesus, Master, do you not care that we perish? And it says, and he arose, rebuked the wind, peace be still. And it says, there was a great calm. I notice every place Jesus went, he brought a great calm. Well, I want to bring a great calm to the body of Christ tonight about healing. I'm not going to yell. In fact, my habit is just not to yell. I've lived with my wife for 19 years now, and she would tell you, I've never yelled at her. And she's never yelled at me. We don't yell in our house. We know who has the authority. And she said, I could say so. I couldn't resist that. I wanted to give you a brief testimony of what God has done for me. Because there's a lot of you who've never seen me before. I was a civilian employee of the Missouri State Highway Patrol for 21 and a half years. I was a professional musician, played for a lot of different stars. I owned a furniture repair business on the side. Other than that, I didn't have much to do. And in July of 1993, I was diagnosed with 5 melanomas and liver cancer. And the doctor gave me a month or less to live. I don't know why they call it liver cancer, because people with liver cancer don't live. That is unless Jesus comes on the scene. And thank God he did 2,000 years ago. You know, there was a song I think Jimmy Buffett had called Lovers Live Longer, and I think it's Livers Love Longer, you know. Because when the longer we live, the longer we love. The longer we can love Jesus. I was an absolute heathen. I've been married 4 times. I'm not proud of it. I went through 3 divorces over being an absolute jerk. I married my wife. She can tell you for 3 years I was probably an absolute jerk to her. I was repeating, you know, what we always, you always do what you always done, you always get what you always got. Well, for one thing, I quit playing music because I didn't want to lose this woman. And I loved music more than I loved anything. And this woman was so precious to me, I put the music away. You know, and I did that for her. But that was just a tip of an iceberg there. There was a lot more I needed to get rid of. And the first thing I needed to get rid of was my sin. And when the doctors told me I'd be dead in a month or less, I was still Mr. Selfish. I went to church. You know, and I went to church every week. I did God a favor like all of you did, okay? You all went to church every week and do God a favor, you thought. Well, that weekend, I was scared. And being Mr. Selfish, I had some worry about where I might be spending some time in the future, say, eternity. And so I asked the Lord Jesus to be my Lord and Savior, not because I was so madly in love with Jesus, but because I didn't want to go to hell. I found out the most amazing thing that day. He didn't want me to go to hell either. And then to top it off, he told me to open my book to Psalm 103, and I did. And verse 2 and 3, it says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits." And I noticed there was an S on that. And I'm all about benefits. You know, when you go to a job, you ask them what the benefits are. It's always the first thing you ask when you apply for a job. Not, you know, what do I need to do? How can I make this company better? But rather, how much are you going to pay me and what are the benefits? And that was me. What are you going to give me, Lord, for my soul? I'm going to give you benefits. Oh boy, that's a turnaround. I had a worthless soul and He gave me benefits. It says He forgave all my iniquities. How many of them was that? Total amount of them. But it also said, He healeth all thy diseases. I said, Lord, You could have fooled me. I'm still sick. But I noticed He said all my diseases, and that included not only the ones that I presently had, but I believe that also included all I ever would encounter in my life. That Jesus Christ basically told me in my warranty book, I'd never be sick a day in my life. And now I have passed 13 years and a half now, and I have not been sick a day in 13 and a half years. Now, what I'm going to teach you tonight, I haven't just learned this out of the book and I preach it. I live it. And I'll tell you what, reading about something and being able to memorize it's one thing, but reading about it, living it, and teaching it is altogether something else. I live what I preach. It works. What I'm going to tell you tonight may blow your socks off, but I'm telling you, if you will believe the Lord Jesus Christ tonight with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind and all your strength, you will never, ever, to your last day on this earth, ever have another sick day again. That's a pretty tall statement, isn't it? Hey, I didn't say it. Psalm 103, verse 3. Now, did I make that promise? No. God Almighty made that promise. Does Jerry have to back up that promise? I don't think so. I didn't make the promise. He made it. Do I think that He is able to deliver on what He said? I am thoroughly convinced. You might say, I think so. I don't think so. I know so. I'm proof of it. Not a sick day. I have had pneumonia more times than I can count. I had a kidney problem. When I went in the service in 1966, they diagnosed me with some type of a kidney problem. And I would pass blood in my urine every year for about a month. It usually hit me around February. I would lose a lot of blood. I don't know what it was anymore. They gave a name for it. But He said it wouldn't kill me. It just make me wish I was dead. And I had it ever since I was a little kid. When I went into service, I went sick call first time with it. They diagnosed it. 1993, it went away. Where'd it go? Went the same place my melanomas went. Went someplace my liver cancer went. Where? It went upon Jesus. Yeah. Where'd he put it? Bend over, devil. I know where he put it. Praise God. There is not a sickness or a disease under heaven that he has not healed. 2,000 years ago. I don't care how long you've been sick. I don't care how sick you are. I invited Pastor to bring in all the sick people, all the blind people, all the deaf people. If he can find some dead ones, bring them. Because did not Jesus say, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead? They don't say that very loud in the churches, do they? Why not? They don't believe it, do they? I believe it. I settled in 1993 what I found in here. I would never back up and have to say, well, I thought I was healed. Man, I've got this thing and I don't know if I am or not. No. I put that behind me in 13 and a half years ago, and I've never ever, not one time ever had to go back and think about it to see if. See, if the devil can draw you into the if arena, okay? But it says our weapons are not carnal. Symptoms are carnal. The Lord told me there was a big difference between symptoms and sickness. He bore all of my sickness, all of your sickness in His body. Follow me here. If He bore it all, that means you don't have any, right? You may say, well, then what's going on in my body? I propose to you tonight, what's got on your body is symptoms. Symptoms and sickness are not the same thing. Now, suppose you have a car and you're going down the road and all of a sudden this car starts going. You think, uh-oh, something no sound right here. And so you go to your friendly mechanic and they, what can I do for you? Well, my car is going. He says, He looks at his car in the driveway and he looks at your car and your car's newer than his car. So let me hear that again. Sounds like you got a rod knocking. Oh, man, that don't sound good. Is that serious? About $5,000 serious. Oh, I can't afford that. But I got to have my car. I got $20,000 in it. Well, Mr. Mechanic, what do I do? Well, I can order you a rebuilt motor for $5,000. Well, if that's what it's going to take, go ahead and do it. He gets under here and he starts taking everything apart and all. And he gets a hold of the exhaust pipe, take it loose, and it's already loose. And he says, wait a minute. I wonder about something. He gets under there and starts the car up. Here's the exhaust pipe. He gets under there and tightens the exhaust pipe. Quiet. You think he's going to call you and tell you that you don't need a new engine? Ah, Mama needs a new pair of shoes. He needs a new car. You agreed to an engine, you got an engine. The devil comes at you and puts a pain in your body, you know, and you may be out jogging someplace and all of a sudden a pain hits you in your chest and the devil says, heart attack. No, I'm healed by the stripes of Jesus. Well, maybe it's lung cancer. No. I'm healed with the stripes of Jesus. Well, maybe it's angina. Well, maybe. Guess what? You bought angina. It's yours. Well, you see, God made you the gatekeeper of your temple.
That's right. Come on.
Okay. It's like in our house. Nothing comes in our house unless Mama opens the door and lets them in. Okay? She's in charge of that house. You are the gatekeeper of your temple, and whatever comes in that house, God has set you in authority over. And guess what? God's not going to come up and slap the devil upside the head every time he puts sickness in your body. Now, he said that you are the temple of the living God. Amen. It's just like this. If anybody here is renting a home, you go to the landlord, you pay your money, he hands you the key, and he don't get in your house. You have authority there. Well, sometime maybe he'll come over to the house uninvited and let himself in. But he has no business there, even though he owns the house. The house is rented and you've paid the rent. God gave you your body. His Son paid for your healing. And He left you with the rent receipt.
Agreed.
So what happens? If somebody comes knocking on your door and wants to give you a bag of rattlesnakes, you know, Well, are you going to just say, well, just praise the Lord, come on in. You've got snakes in the bathtub, and the snakes in the sink, and the snakes in the bedroom, and snakes in the stool. Or are you going to just say, no, I don't think I want any of that, and I'll just send it on down the road. Thank you. If you're smart, that's exactly what you'll do. You won't put up that junk in your body. Now, there is a verse in Luke that I really, really like. And even before I get into the scriptures on healing, I'm going to use this verse. It's Luke 10:19. I know every one of you have read that verse. Everybody there. It said, behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. I'm going to give you a Greek lesson here. He says, behold, I give unto you power. It's a Greek word, exousia. And it is command authority, the right to do, right and might. And the thing that stood out most to me is it absolutely prohibits the presence of a hindrance. And I said, I give you that power, exousia power, to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power. And that word power is dunamis, where we get the word dynamite. The ability to do, but it also says it also includes marvelous works, terrifying works, able to do. And then the Lord says, I'm going to give you a demonstration. He took me all the way back into Exodus where Aaron and Moses went in before Pharaoh and Aaron threw down his staff and it became a serpent. He says that demonstrated exousia power. Well, the sorcerers, magicians said, no big deal, we can do that. Threw their staffs down and they became serpents. And he said that was dunamis power. What happened next? Well, if I read my book right, Aaron's serpent ate up theirs. In other words, exousia trumps dunamis. The devil can do all kinds of lying signs and wonders, but God says, I've given you a power that trumps that power. We run around and we yell and scream at the devil and all this kind of stuff, and hey, before you ever raise your breath and do the first yell, you already had him beat. He's trying to draw you into a yelling contest to see who can yell the loudest. Well, like I said, usually the person that yells the loudest is the one who's got the least authority. You know, the boss can sit in his office, like Wayne can sit in his office, and he'll tell some guy named John, go tell this guy over in this office to turn the radio down and get to work. So the guy he sends, he runs out there, he wants to be Mr. Big Shot. Hey, shut that radio down. Well, you know, he's the one doing the yelling, but he don't have as much authority. Well, Wayne could have went out there and said it very quietly and got the same result. He's an authority. You know, we don't have to go yelling and screaming at the devil. We're trying to convince us that we're an authority. You don't have to convince the devil you're an authority over him. He already knows it. But what he's banking on is the fact that you don't know it, and you're trying to prove it to yourself. So you yell and scream and jump up and down and hoop and holler and bind and cast out and everything else. And listen, the proof's in the pudding. If they leave the same way they came, if they came sick and they leave sick, you ain't in charge. I don't care how loud you yelled. Okay? The proof's in the pudding. Jesus appointed us exousia power. Now he said, well, you know, that was the disciples. Well, it also says the promises unto you and to your children, and to all that are afar off, even in Sedalia, and as many as the Lord our God shall call. How many is that? How many call on Him? I have it. I don't have to yell at the devil. I know I have it. God the Father knows I have it. Jesus knows I have it. Why does Jesus know I have it? He gave it to me. The devil knows I have it. The devil's got a real problem because I know I have it. You know, it just like there is a pecking order in the heavenlies, okay? God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost, men and women of God, the angels. Let's turn to Genesis 1:26 for just a minute here. I want to make sure I get this pecking order correct because I don't have the scripture memorized. And God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness. What's he do? He speaks, he's a speaking spirit, he creates with his words. And let them have what? What's your word say?
Dominion.
Dominion. What is dominion? Is that over or under? It's over. Okay. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost, mankind, angels. And let them have dominion over the fish. Okay, so here's the fish. By the way, and if you're a fisherman, go to the lake and say, I take dominion over these fish. And I have done this and with a group of people from my church. And I've got a lake in the back of my house, and I haven't fished in it but maybe four times since I've lived there. But I took my fish pole out there, and right in front of my deacons and everybody, I says, I take dominion over these fish out here. I handed each of us a fish pole. We all had the same kind of fish pole with the same bait. The only difference is I caught 55 fish in 20 minutes, and they didn't catch nothing. And so this guy said, well, there's something wrong with my rod. So I took his rod, and I pulled a 7.5-pound bass out and handed it to him and said, here's your fish. Okay, I have dominion. Jenny will tell you, I've walked up to birds before. I love birds. Birds seem to like me, too. I have dominion over them. Says so right here. So the fish are here. The fowl of the air are here. Over all the cattle. Over all the earth. Over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. They're down there under there someplace. Now, let's turn to Genesis 3, verse 14. Now, see, when Adam and Eve messed up and got into sin, Adam, when he says, what's this you've done? And, of course, you know, the blame game started. Adam says, the woman. Now, first, this is kind of funny. This doesn't have anything to do with healing, but I got to say it. I like it. You know, when he saw Eve and he says he called him woman, I imagine, you know, she came out of the bush. He said, whoa, man. But now he's saying, this woman that you gave me. Okay. And then she said, the serpent beguiled me. Shifted the blame. The serpent didn't have anybody to blame. In verse 14, and the Lord said, and the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle, above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly thou shalt go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. Now you can spell defeated, D-E-F-E-A-T-E-D. Or you can spell defeated, D-E-F-E-E-T-E-D. He had no feet. God put him lower than a toad's belly. He's lower than pond scum. He is at the absolute bottom of the pecking order. If there is a bottom of the pecking order, he's under it. Fish tell him what to do. And he comes to man, God's highest creation, and tells us what to do. Oh, and we yell and scream and try to tell him what to do, and he's telling us what to do. Why? Well, because we think he has authority over us. So when he puts symptoms on our body, we think we got to put up with that crap. I'm not putting up with it. If you guys want to be sick and go feed the doctors and keep the hospitals in business, hey, go for it. Not me. He said he took all my sickness and all my disease. Hey, I don't want it, and he can have it. I intend to live my days out healthy. I've been sick. I've been near death. I've been healthy. Guess which I like better? I like being healthy. Oh, I love it. It's wonderful. It gets better every day. And I take my nose and I thumb it at the devil. You know something? I've heard this said in a lot of religious circles. If the devil reminds you of your past, you remind him of his future. I'll tell you something better than that. If he reminds you of your past, back when you lived in sin and all this, remind him of his past. He was the covering cherub over the throne of God. He'll never, ever be there again. Oh, that's got to hurt. That's got to hurt worse than saying, hey, the fish have dominion over you. My goodness, people. God wants you healed. And you're letting the devil tell you that you are under him. Oh, that's why I don't go into yelling streaks with the devil. I know I'm over him. God's word says so. Says so in so many places, it ain't funny.
Thank you, Father.
You know, I want to go. I've been up pages here in my Bible here. Let's go over to Acts chapter 10. Acts chapter 10. And let's go over to about verse 38. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. So therefore, we know where all the sickness and oppression comes from. You know, that's just kind of like basic math 101. But I'm just setting a base here. We know where it comes from. A lot of people say, I think God is trying to teach me a lesson and making me sick. Well, if you truly believe that, why are you running to the doctor? Why don't you just learn what he wants to tell you and stay sick and enjoy it? You know, people say, I bear this sickness, so I can give glory to God. Listen, how many here are parents? Okay, you. Who do you have, boys or girls? Both.
One of each.
One of each. Okay, suppose you send your kids to school, holes in their pants, smelly, nasty food hanging out the corner of the mouth, and peanut butter in their hair, and one shoe with the sole flapping, and foul mouth, and you send them to school. What are they going to do? Oh, man, he's got some crummy parents. But you send that child to school dressed up, clean, yes, ma'am, no, ma'am, polite, and attentive in school. You're going to say, that's reflecting on his parents. I go to somebody and I tell them, God will forgive all your sins and
heal all your diseases. Pray for me, brother.
Are they going to want you praying? Are they going to want you praying for them? But if I go to them and I say, you need my Jesus, he'll heal you. And you'll never be sick again. Well, I don't believe that. Look at me. I'm fit and I'm healthy. I'm almost 59 years old, and I'll challenge any 18-year-old in here to a race and I'll run your legs off. I promise you. I've done it. I know. And I ain't dim of sight either. I can take a BB pistol at 40 feet and I can split a business card edgewise. I see good. I'll tell you about that in a minute. You see, God's good to His kids. He's a good father. A good father ain't going to send his kids to work sick. A good father ain't going to leave his kids broke. A good father ain't going to leave them depressed, oppressed, possessed. He's going to give them gifts. You give gifts to your kids, right? He gives us gifts. He gives us benefits. And we haven't done anything to even earn them yet. We haven't even done the job yet, and He still gives us benefits. He gives us retirement packages out of this world. We haven't done a lick of work for Him yet. He's a good God. A good Father. Well, anyway, I'm going to get back over here. Let's go over to Mark 3:14. Mark 3:14. Hope I got a good memory here because I ain't got any notes. Mark 3:14. And this was at the beginning of Jesus' ministry. And it says, and He ordained 12 that they should be with Him, that He might send them forth to preach and to have power, exousia, to heal sickness and to cast out devils. And of course, then it says, and Simon, surnamed Peter, and James, the son of Zebedee, and John, the brother James, and so on. Let's go back over to Acts again. Let's go to Acts 2:38. Acts 2:38. Peter said to them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. One of those gifts is healing. Has anybody here ever bought a new car? Okay, you go to the car and you make your best deal with the dealer, and he calls you in there and says, well, here's the title of the car, here's the keys, but we'd really rather just have your business. It looks good on our sales chart, and we want your money. We never want to bother with you again, so we don't want to give you a warranty. You're going to say, keep your car. I'll go across the street and buy one because I want my warranty. When you got saved, know it or not, you got a warranty. What is that warranty? Part of that warranty is healing. I want my warranty. Okay? Bought and paid for. Listen, if I'm going to have something that's bought and paid for, I want everything that comes with it. I don't want to buy a car that says that it has a CD player and Bose sound system and get in there and find out there's a transistor sister sitting on the dashboard and that's all there is, you know. I want everything that the book says it's supposed to have. Verse 39, that I used this earlier. For the promises unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. So it is unto you. Don't ever let the devil say, well, you know, that was back in the Bible days. Hey, we're still in the Bible days. We're still in the Bible days. We're Acts chapter 29. Let's go over to Matthew. I'm going to run you all over this thing. I'll go over to chapter 10, verse 8. In case any of you wonder what our assignment is, now, just because you weren't born 2,000 years ago doesn't mean the job description for Christian has changed a lick. It has not. He said, this is the words of Jesus, by the way. It's just printed in red. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead. You know, the first dead one we got to raise is our own dead butt. Our own worthless faith that we think is worthless, but it's really not worthless because God gave us the measure of faith. I'm going to take a side trip here. I need to go here. Many of you say, well, I just don't think I have the faith to do that. It says in Romans, it says, unto every man is given the measure of faith. It does not say we are given a measure. If we're given a measure, Steve's measure may be way bigger than mine. But it says the measure. That means there's one. That means he has the same measure of faith I have. Now I'm going to jack you up a little higher. He has the same faith that the pastor has. I'm going to jack you up a little higher. He has the same faith that Jesus Christ has. He said, whoa, whoa, he's the Son of God. Hey, hey, my Bible says that he stripped himself of all his godly authority when he came to earth as a man. That means he was given the measure of faith that I was given. Because if he was given a different measure of faith than I was, then he couldn't be my substitute. He had to be like me in every way. So that means he had to walk in the same faith that I have. Now wait, what's the difference between the faith of Jesus and the faith of Jerry? He used his faith a lot more. Well, Jesus walked on the water. Did he do it as the Son of God? No. He did it as the Son of Man. Don't you remember Peter walked on the water? Did he do it as the Son of God? He did it with the same measure of faith that the other 11 guys in the boat also had. But Peter decided if he was going to get wet, he was going to do it out there on the water with Jesus. The other disciples in the boat could have got out of the boat. He's the only one that did. But they had the same measure of faith. What happened? They didn't use it. It's just like you start your car up out here in the parking lot, sit there and rev the pedal up. Motor sounds good, but until you put that puppy in gear, step on the gas, you're not going anywhere. Even though it has all the power, you may have a V12 under the hood like Larry did, and that's Mercedes out there. 12 cylinders and uses them all. But there's so many Christians out here have 12 cylinders and ain't even got the key in the ignition yet. That they got all the power in the world and they're not using it. Once again, he said, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead. Cast out devils. I've been in church and said, oh, we don't do that here. And I said, I can tell that. Freely you have received. That means without cost to you. Didn't mean it was free to him. It just meant it was free to you. But freely receive, freely give. Give what? Give out the gifts. See, gifts are for other people. He says he gives gifts unto the church. For what? For the edification of the church. Edification means building up. We are too busy building ourselves up, trying to make a reputation from the big three. Not Father, Son, Holy Ghost. Me, myself, and I. I know, been there, done that. God gives you power to raise the dead. Has anybody used it lately? Come on. I'm going to shock you a little bit. I have. I have a written testimony of a woman who was 12 days dead. And God raised her for me. She only had one kidney. God put another kidney in her. God ain't forgot how to do that. You know, she wouldn't give God glory, so I don't think she even went to church anywhere. She lived 8 more years. She died, I guess, what, 2 years ago, Jenny, probably? She died while I was down in Georgia someplace. And family tried to get a hold of me to raise her again, but I was gone. But she lived 8 years. Now, that's more than a lot of people ever even get to live. There's so many little children die, the Satan takes them out. It's because the parents didn't know the kids didn't have to die. I am not afraid. I challenge people, bring me people in wheelchairs. Hey, listen. Steve gives me his checkbook and I know he's got money in the bank. He says, here, brother, here's my checkbook. Spend my money. Oh, I don't know. What if the check bounces? Make me look bad. No, it'll make him look bad. It's his checkbook. I'm going to go spend his money. God tells me, heal sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead. Hey, I'm going to go do it. You know, it's not a suggestion. It was a command of Jesus. Now remember, he's boss. He's up here, way up here in the high in the string of chain of command, right? Way up above Mr. Devil under there someplace. That's trying to tell me, a son of God, that I can't do that. Yeah, get real. The devil will spout lies to you every day of your life. Tell you, you can't do this, you can't do that. Shut up, devil. Shut your face. You got no authority to be even talking to me. I don't belong to you. I have a new boss. His name is Jesus Christ. And he says, I have trump over you. And I like using it. Let's go over here. I'd like to go over here in Mark. You know, there's some chapters. Mark 16, verse 17 and 18. We're talking about authority here. I'd like to use a little. These were some of the last things that Jesus told the disciples. I want to go into the first 15 verse. Mark 16, 15. And he said unto them, who's them? That was the disciples, which we are today, his disciples. That is, if you have asked Jesus Christ to be your Lord and Savior. Has everybody here done that? I want to make sure I'm not talking to any unbelievers. If I'm talking to any unbelievers, I want to take you to Jesus tonight. But I assume I'm talking to all believers here. He says, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. What's the gospel? Gospel means good news. That means I must have some good news to preach, because otherwise Jesus wouldn't have said good news. What's that good news? Good news, God ain't trying to send you to hell and tell you how rotten you are. God's not trying to tell you you'll never amount to anything. God's telling you, come on up. God's telling you, you can be above only and not beneath. You can be the head only, not the tail. Listen, have you ever seen a pack of dogs run? If you're not the lead dog, the view never changes. He wants you to be the lead dog. Okay? You are the lead dog. He said so. Deuteronomy chapter 28, verses 1 through 14. You get time, go look at it. And say, everything God says, you are, if you're His child. Remember where it said in Psalms, all these benefits? Forget not His benefits. 14 verses of benefits. Deuteronomy chapter 28. You got a minute? You want to go there? Let's just take a side trip. Let's go there. And it shall come to pass if, two-letter word that often stumbles us, that if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God to observe and to do all His commandments which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God shall set thee on high above all nations of the earth. He doesn't say you'll set yourself high. He says He'll set you up. And all these blessings shall come upon thee and overtake thee. In other words, they're like you're driving a Yugo down the road about 60 miles an hour and Larry rolls up in his V12 Mercedes and he decides to go around you. Guess what? He's going to overtake you and there's nothing you can do to stop him. He's going to overtake you. It's like the blessings of God. If you're His child and if you hearken diligently to His voice, He says these blessings will overtake you. Promise. If thou shalt hearken to the voice of the Lord, blessed shalt thou be in the city, blessed shalt thou be in the field, blessed shall be the fruit of thy body, and the fruit of thy ground, and the fruit of thy cattle, the increase of thine kine, and the flocks of thy sheep. Blessed shall be thy basket and thy store. Well, if you're not a farmer and you don't have a basket and a store, do you have a checking account and savings account? He says He's going to bless it. Blessed shalt thou be when thou comest in. Blessed shalt thou be when thou goest out. Man, that just about covers it. Doesn't say, blessed art thou from 8 to 5. Holy Spirit doesn't say, well, Jerry, I'm with you. It's 8 o'clock in the morning. Welcome, Holy Spirit. And the whistle goes off 5 o'clock. Gotta go. Well, He's with me all the time, 24-7. That means I'm blessed 24-7. The Lord shall cause thine enemies that rise up against thee to be smitten before thy face. They shall come out against thee one way, and they shall flee before thee seven ways. The Lord. See, it's always the Lord. It's never you doing this. So many of us try to fill our own basket. So many of us try to fill our own store. So many of us try to promote ourselves at work. It says the Lord shall command the blessing upon thee in thy storehouses and all thou settest thy hand unto, and he shall bless thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. The Lord shall establish thee a holy people unto himself. Holy people is consecrated people set up for a purpose for God. You're holy. You're a holy priesthood. You are a holy priesthood. You're not a somebody trying to get holy. God says you are holy. You're not somebody who's trying to get saved. You're being saved daily. You were given the down payment of it the day you said, I do, to Jesus. And he ain't never going to give you the wedding ring back. Okay? He don't believe in divorce. He don't divorce his husband, wives. The Lord shall establish thee a holy people unto himself, as he has sworn unto thee, if thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God and walk in his ways. And the people of the earth shall see that thou art called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of thee. Well, I like that. And the Lord shall make thee plenteous in goods. Oh, everybody likes that part. You know, God doesn't care if you have goods. He just cares if the goods have you. He'll make thee plenteous in goods. You don't think I got plenty of goods. You need to come to my house, friends. I have 2 BMWs and 3 Mercedes. And I haven't had a job in 3 years. And I live in a $250,000 home. Of course, that's a shed to Wayne and Gail, you know. But, hey, it ain't bad. Because God has made me plenteous in goods. Why? So I could say, look what my daddy did for me. My daddy loves me. Ooh, he's rich. I love my daddy. Oh, I love him. And the people of the earth shall see that thou art called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of thee. And the Lord shall make thee plenteous in goods, and the fruit of thy body, and the fruit of thy cattle, and the fruit of thy ground, in the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers to give thee. And the Lord shall open thee his good treasure, the heaven, to give the rain upon thy land in his season, and to bless all the work of thine hand. And thou shalt lend unto many nations, and thou shalt not borrow. I like that. That means if you can lend, that means you got more than you need for the task at hand. And the Lord shall make thee the head and not the tail. I like that. Thou shalt be above only. Does it mean just sometime if you're good? Sometimes if you act holy enough? Thank you, Lord. If that thou shalt hearken unto the commandments of the Lord thy God, which I command thee this day to observe and to do them, and thou shalt not go aside from any of the words which I command thee this day, to the right hand or to the left, or to go after other gods to serve them. You see, Jesus left us with 2 commandments. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength, and your neighbor as yourself. How do you love your neighbor? How is the best way that you can love your neighbor? Give him a car? Oh, that's nice. Buy him a house? That's even nicer. But you can tell him about Jesus and give him something that's far beyond any riches on the face of the earth. Why? You just made him rich. You just made him healthy for the rest of his life. You just made him blessed. You raised him up out of the muck and mire and told him he was the son of a king or daughter of a king. Get him adopted into a new family. I ain't poor no more. I got a rich daddy. And he loves me. Ooh, I love it. I love it. I love it. I'm going to preach myself happy here in a minute. Praise God. I started to tell you about my testimony here. And I'm going to share a little bit of what he's done for me. As I said, I was diagnosed with 5 melanomas and liver cancer and given a month or less to live. And I was a heathen. I already told you that. Just reminded you. I got my ears blowed out in a service. I had a 95% hearing loss in both ears. 95%. That means I was deaf. I hear okay. I still have some hearing loss. But I'm understanding the hearing loss I have now is because God wants to make sure I hear good in here. He'll take care of the rest of it later. When I first came to the Lord, I was walking out on a loading dock with a big, huge box off a back of recliner, and it didn't weigh much, 10 pounds maybe, but it was just big, and I couldn't see around it. And I walked off the loading dock where I thought the stairs was, and I caught the edge of the concrete steps with with my shin bone and did a compound fracture of my shin bones and crushed my kneecap on the pavement. And they called an ambulance for me. And so, you know, I drugged myself to my van and I was begging and pleading with God. God, heal me. And he says, Jerry, run across the parking lot. Oh, God, I got a broken leg. Heal me, heal me. Jerry, run across the parking lot. Lord God, you know, maybe it was cloudy and he couldn't see my leg was broke. But I tried to put a little weight on it. Did it hurt? Yeah. But I obeyed the voice of the Lord. And I took a step and I took another step and it hurt. And I took off running. And I came back and I pulled my pants leg up. I had a hole in my pants leg, blood all over where the bone came out. Pulled my pants leg up, the bone was back in my leg and there was no hole. That was my first instant healing that I saw in my own body. So I knew something was happening here, folks. Ambulance driver says, well, you don't need us. And there was a guy there that I had been ministering to for some time. He got saved that day. He saw something. He saw that God is alive. He ain't in vacation in Bermuda. He's here. Okay? Then I was working on a recliner, and I had the recliner like laying on its back with the footrest straight up, and I had a pair of vice grips holding it open so I could get down in it and work on it. And I was trying to get a particularly stubborn bolt off, and all of a sudden the vice grip popped off and my middle finger on my left hand got chopped. It's like a pair of scissors would snip right through the knuckle. And my finger just dangled by a piece of skin. You know what I thought? First thing I thought, oh good Lord, I'll never be able to play guitar again. I've been a 28-year guitarist. Goofy what you think sometimes, you know. Well, I ran into the bathroom and I washed the gook and the grease off of it because I was working on a greasy chair. And I made a tourniquet of string and I cut the bleeding off and I took a popsicle stick out of my toolbox. I mixed glue on it. I took duct tape. You know, I mean, every good Ozark man carries duct tape. And I duct taped my finger to that thing and I took some super glue and I super glued my finger back together and I went about my work. Well, a couple days later, it was starting to really throb. And I thought, well, that's good because that means there's something going on in my finger. And it was hurting. I didn't get much sleep for a couple days there because of it. And I took the popsicle stick off. And lo and behold, the finger was still on there. But I couldn't bend it. But praise God, I still had my finger. That's better than nothing, right? Well, that on the seventh day from when that happened, I went over to his friend's house and we were sitting there and he had a guitar sitting over against the bookcase. So as my habit was, I walked over there and picked his guitar up and started playing it. And we were talking and I was playing a song called Classical Gas. And all of a sudden I realized, my finger's working. 7 days, no doctor touched it. And I was playing guitar again. I think that's two healings. That's two healings. And I was telling my wife, I said, I don't understand all this stuff. I'm not accident prone. Why am I having this? And my wife said, God's teaching you faith. If God could teach me out of His Word. I'm not that dense. Well, it wasn't over. August of 95, I had a wasp in my kitchen window and we had a bunch of boxes packed up because God started telling her to pack up because we was moving. I couldn't find a fly swatter, so I went down to my woodworking shop and I got this big rubber band. It's actually a wood clamp, and you pull it out about a foot, and it takes about 40 pounds to pull it out. And so, see, when I was on the highway patrol, I learned how to take a rubber band and flip flies with it. Okay, so I was good at it. I actually knocked a fly out of the air with a rubber band. I've done it before. So I didn't think nothing of it. I walked in there, I took this big rubber band, I pulled this puppy back like about this far, and my finger bent straight back, and a rubber band came right back in my eyes. Now, ever since I was 6 years old, I've wore glasses. I had 20/200 in my left eye, 20/250 in my right eye. My left eye would only correct 20/60. It was what they called a lazy eye. My right eye, however, would correct 20/20 with glasses. Well, suddenly, I couldn't see anything. So I did what every faith-filled person do. I was screaming. I was hollering, God, Jenny, come look at my eyes. I remember a sound that I heard. I saw a flash of light and it sounded like somebody dropped a watermelon on the floor. And that was, I still think about it every now and then. It's not something you forget readily. And I spent several days totally blind. I couldn't see out of either eye. They worked on my left eye. They put stitches in it and everything. They put a patch over my right eye and they told me there's nothing they can do for my right eye. It's totaled. But if I did not get infection in it, then they wouldn't have to remove the eyeball. And I'd change the patch every 2, 3, 4 times a day and put antibiotics on it. And the pupil was fully dilated like a dead eye, which it was. I could shine light into it and couldn't see anything. The doctor told me, don't bend over, whatever you do. I was, you know, it was a, you know, I'd already done that. I'd already been bent over. Well, finally, after going to the doctor every day and every day, the doctor had every day tried to examine my eyeball with this look like a microscope to actually take some jelly and then put it on your eyeball. And he looked down in my eye finally, and he said, well, Jerry, he says, your retina's detached. I don't even see a lens inside your eye. The pupil's destroyed. You got lots of massive cornea damage. And I said, well, I said, can you transplant that? And he said, Jerry, you don't understand. Let me tell you something. He says, the inside of your eyeball looks like a bowl of Jell-O that somebody stirred up with a spoon. He says, there's nothing I can sew anything to. He says, if the eye doesn't get infection in it, you'll keep your eyeball, but what you have is what you're going to have the rest of your life. So my driver's license had expired, just, and in Missouri, you got 30 days to take your driver's, your vision test, or you have to take the driving and written and everything all over again. So Jenny, my left eye was recovering, and I could see with it again, but it would only correct 20/60. In fact, it wasn't even correcting that good at that time because it was recovering from this traumatic injury. I had her take me to the driver's license bureau. Of course, everybody on patrol knew I wore glasses. They told me, read the smallest line I could read. I put my eyes down there, and suddenly I realized I was reading the bottom line with both eyes. I went right back to the eye doctor. I said, doctor, I've got to show you something happened here. And I went and I read the 20/10 on the line with both eyes. Now today, I like to take like a cardboard box and I make a knife slit in it and I put a business card edgewise and I back off about 35 feet with a BB pistol and I split those cards. I have lots of them. That's what God has done for me. Now, God doesn't love me any more than He loves Wayne. He doesn't love me any more than He loves my wife. He doesn't love me any more than He loves any of us. But the thing of it is, see, I got my warranty book out. And I said, hey, Lord, when you buy a new car, the dealer never calls you up and says, hey, Wayne, how's your car running? You need anything done to it? They're not going to do that. But when your car breaks, you get your warranty book out and you call up and says, I need service. When the devil attacks my body, I call up God. I say, God, I got a warranty. Isaiah 53:5. 1 Peter 2:24. Psalms 103:3. I have a warranty, Lord. He said, I'll take care of it. Bring it in. Bring it to the light. I'll fix it. He fixes it. Do I ever get attacks in my body? Yeah. But I'm like Teflon. Can't stick. Gone. I haven't had a cold in 13 years. Anybody here can say that? I haven't had the flu in 13 years. Anybody can say that? I don't get sick. I don't get headaches. I give headaches to the devil. I'm going to get back to some scripture here. There's just a few of the things that God has done for me. He's healed so many people that I can't even remember a tenth of the stories about Him. There are so many. Not a few here and a few there. For 13 and a half years, I've hit the deck running and laid hands on the sick. And here's something interesting about this laying hands. You know, it says in Mark 16:15 where I was at. Well, here, I'm still there. Let me go back here. It says in verse 18, they shall take up serpents. If they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. And the Lord showed me something interesting about this. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover thing. It's like this. I see the word they twice. I assume that's just the same thing, same meaning, right? It says they, T-H-E-Y. But it's two different Greek words. They, like I lay hands on her and we recover. So if you get attacked in your body, what do? Run out and pray for somebody. Because healing goes first way. When you fill a cup up, it don't run over until the cup's full, right? So God fills your cup up first. When the healing anointing comes through you to pray for somebody else, He makes sure your cup's full. They get the overflow. Guess what you get? You get the full cup. So I'm always looking for people to pray for. I stay healthy. I love it. I like being healthy. Well, you know, we used Luke 10:19 earlier. I'm going to go back over on it again because I want to reinforce this to you. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. And nothing shall by any means hurt you. See, that power, He didn't stutter when He said that. He gave you that power. He intends for you to use it. It's not just the suggestions. You know, like the ten commandments. You know, a lot of people say it's the 10 suggestions. You know, it's not. And this, behold, I give unto you power. We're all stewards of the power of God. You remember the parable of the talents. One was given 5 talents. And he went out and gained 5 others also. And the Lord says, enter into the joy of your Lord. Another one was only given 2 talents. But he went out and gained 2 others also. What did he say? Well, he didn't say, well, I didn't give you as much, so you're almost welcome to the joy of the Lord. No, he says, welcome. He says, come in to the joy of your Lord. But he said to the one who buried the talent that was afraid to use it, we say, well, you know, I'm afraid to get bold and lay hands on somebody. What happens? I'm supposed to be a man of God. What happens if they don't get well? I might be embarrassed. Well, I don't know about you, but I was a fool for the devil for 45 years. I don't mind being a fool for God. There's one difference. The fool makes me look like an idiot every time. I'm talking about the devil. He makes me look like an idiot every time. But God never leaves me out on the branch. We got too many tree huggers that call themselves Christians. They want to go to the apple tree and walk up to the trunk and pick apples off the trunk. Every apple tree I ever had, the fruit's out on the limb. And, you know, the fruit on the bottom is easy to get, but pretty soon after you've picked all the fruit off the bottom, you've got to get a ladder and go out on a limb to get the good fruit. Okay? You want the good fruit of God, you're going to have to go out on a limb. You're going to have to try Him. But I have never fell out of the tree. Not once. Not even once. I had the opportunity in 1999 to pray for a quadriplegic man at Kenneth Copeland's Southwest Believers Convention. It's kind of a long story, but I ain't going to tell you the story because it gets long. But in a nutshell, I went over there and told the man, I read him every miracle of healing that Jesus did in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And I told him, now I'm going to pray for you and pull you out of the wheelchair. I didn't say, I'm going to pray for you and see if God will heal you. I said, I'm going to pray for you and I'm going to pull you out of the wheelchair. And I am going to walk you around this convention center. And that's what I did. And guess what? Brother Copeland had him on TV giving his testimony.
Praise God.
I afraid that God wasn't going to back me up? Never even entered my thoughts. Not really. I never gave it a thought. Why? Because I'm some pious holy man? No. I know whom I believed. When you settle it tonight, if you will settle tonight, who you work for and what He's given you authority to do, you'll never back up when the devil comes up and roars in your face. You'll just tell him, shut up and get back where you belong. I'm in charge here. Take your junk off this person. And you don't have to yell at him either. You need to stay quiet. I've stood clear across the church and told the devil, get junk off them, not even lay hands on them. I don't have to. I can send the word. I've sent the word to India to to a man that called me, and his mother was on the table getting hit with the paddles trying to bring her back. And I sent the word to India, and I told her, I said, you come alive now in the name of Jesus. And she got it and walked out. And I'll tell you what, that man shocked me, because I think it was a day or 2 days later, he sent my PayPal. He sent me $100. And from coming from southern India, it might as well have been $1 million. But he saw God work. And when I prayed for this man, this man's mother, I saw a vision in my head. And I saw as like a feed sack with PMI written on it. And I says, I see something that looks like a feed sack, like a flour sack or something, but the word's PMI. And he almost cried on the other end. He says, my dad's dead, but my mother and father for 40 years had Pradesh Ministries International, and they gave rice to the poor. God wasn't done with that lady. And he showed me from clear across the world, you can do just like Jesus did with the centurion servant. That centurion understood authority. He had people above him. He had people below him. You have people above you, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. You have everything below you. Now, it shouldn't be too hard to understand. 3 above, everything below. 3 above, everything below. Can you get that? Everybody say it. 3 above, everything below. Okay, you got that? Sickness, poverty, anything that doesn't line up with this, below. Who said you could say it? 3 above. You know, man, I could preach all night, but I don't know how long I've been going here, but I think I'm going to quit because I think you got the idea. Okay. If there's anybody here sick tonight, God will heal you. I'm not going to say, oh, we're going to pray and see if God will heal me. No. I don't have to lay hands on you. The only thing that's required of you is to believe only. The only thing that's required of Him is do it. You can do your part. He'll do His part. He gave you the measure of faith. Only one measure. It's the faith that comes from God. Now, it wasn't made in Taiwan or Malaysia, and it's not defective, and it's not fake, and it's not a veneer that looks good on the outside but falls apart. It's the real deal. It works. It'll work from now until you quit using it. It'll work tonight. It'll work tomorrow. Well, I guarantee you, if you go out of here tonight and believe in God for your healing, and tomorrow symptoms will hit you, and you're going to, first thing your mind's going to want to do is, well, I thought I was healed, but. I've had this sermon for about 13 years I've wanted to use called Big Butt Bertha. Our big butt gets in the way. I thought I was healed, but. Well, there's no but. It doesn't say but. It says if you believe. Do you remember the story of Jairus? Jairus had humbled himself before Jesus. He put his neck on the chopping block because he loved his daughter so much he was willing to die if necessary. Put his job, put his reputation, put his neck on the chopping block and said publicly, Lord Jesus, if you come and lay hands on my daughter, she shall live. So Jesus says, okay, we're gone. On the way over to the house, they came to him and says, trouble not the master further. Your daughter is dead. And before he could say anything, Jesus says, fear not, believe only. There is a time to say, and there's a time to keep your mouth shut. There's a time to make your confessions, your faith confessions for God, and there's a time to stand and watch God do it. He was just about to open his trap and blow his confession. Just like if you go out here and plant corn, and you go out the next day and you go, and you know you planted good corn, you know the ground's good, and you walk out the next morning, there ain't no corn out there. And you go out there and dig the seed up and throw it away. You go out here and plant another thing of corn. What's this got to do with healing? Sister, you go to a church, somebody prays for you. Man, you feel great. Next morning you get up, you hurt. Well, I thought I got something, but I guess I didn't. You go to church the next time, you plant another seed. Oh, praise God, I feel wonderful. Next day the pain hits you. Well, I thought I was healed. But you are going out here in your garden and you're plucking up that seed every day. You can plant a new seed 365 days a year. When are you going to have a harvest? When you quit pulling the seed up. Okay? Quit pulling up your seed. Put it in the ground. God says there's seed, time, harvest. Not every healing is instant. It depends on you. It doesn't depend on God. All gifts come from the Father of lights. He doesn't have any dim bulbs. He has light. Need healing in your body. You believe God with the faith that He gave you. And lay hold of it. If you belong to the Lord Jesus Christ, you got a warranty. Say, Father, here's my warranty book. Right here. I got a defect. Fix it. He ain't going to say, well, okay, we'll set you up for the 14th of February, 2009. No. You see, in his shop, they got quick turnaround in God's shop. He ain't got to order parts and let your car set for 6 years. He ain't got to say, well, you know, I got to look up the year, make, and model, and I don't know if we can even get the parts. You look in God's shop, and you're the only one in it. There ain't a waiting line. You're the only one there, and you ain't going to be there long. Because He's got somebody else waiting to come in the shop. Day in, day out. Roll them in. Roll them out. Push them in. Drive them out. That's what it is. That's what God does. You push it in. You drive it out. Fear not. Believe only. I tell people, I'm going to leave you with a testimony that will shock you. I went into a church, an Assembly of God church, at Hatfield, Arkansas, September 14th, 2004. I had been to that church before and there was about this many people there. God did an awesome healing to a man standing on the corner. God just told me, walk over to this big man about the size of this gentleman here. He had bib overalls on. And God just told me, put my hand on his chest and say, God, show him your mercy. He started crying. I didn't know what happened. God didn't tell me. Three or four days later, an elder of the church emailed me and said, you know the big man you prayed for? He had a mass on his heart and the doctors had been trying to figure out how to operate on him and not kill him. He went to the hospital to get the operation. They x-rayed him. It was gone. So he came to church and gave his testimony. Well, when the elder found out about it, he emailed me, and I think, time for me to call the pastor. I called the pastor and I says, I told you I wasn't done. He says, when can you come back? We set up September 14th. This time there was about 400 people there. The whole town only has like 487. Okay? They were almost, the whole town came out. And I don't remember how many people I prayed for. I would imagine I prayed for 200 of them or more. But there was one that really stuck out in my mind. The last one came at 2:45 in the afternoon. And I've been praying since maybe 10 or 10:30. A lady brought this young man about 20 years old up in a wheelchair. And he said, this is my son. He has spina bifida. And he has hydrocephalus. Well, I had heard of spina bifida, but I didn't know what it was exactly. But hydrocephalus is water on the brain. And he says, he's had a shunt in his brain since the day he was born. And I said, can he walk? Oh, goodness, no. He's never been out of the wheelchair in his life. I got down on both my knees and I took this man's hands and I looked him right square in the eye and I said, sir, today you will walk. I looked around that congregation. I looked at that pastor. Oh, I could see it. We know him. He ain't ever walked a day in his life. He's from here. We know him. Guess what? They wheeled him out. Well, did I pull my seed up? No way, Jose. Pastor took my wife and I out to a late lunch, 3 o'clock. We came back at 5 o'clock. We were sitting talking with the pastor, and this young girl came running in and said, Reverend Jerry, Pastor, quick, come see. And we thought the building was on fire. We went running outside, and out in the parking lot, here was this young man walking into the church, stood for the whole service. Does he believe? You bet. Do they believe? You bet. Is God in the healing business today? I promise you. My Bible says Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. So what I suggest is let's just see if that word is true. Let's just see if there's a God that answers by fire. Remember how Elijah told the prophets of Baal, you know, you give your sacrifice first. He said they yelled and they screamed and they jumped up and down and they hollered, and that they was hollering to a dead God that doesn't answer. They cut themselves with lancets till the blood gushed, it says. And they yelled and they hollered and they prophesied. Like a lot of us do in the church here. I'm not talking about this job. I'm just talking about church. Nothing happened, did it? So Elijah says, put the wood on. Dig a trench. Pour water on it. Do it again. Do it again. And then he says, God of heaven. He called out once to the God I'm telling you right now to call out to. Fire came down from heaven. He had steak today. And he had gravy in the trough. And he licked up all the water. And all the people said, the Lord God, He is the God. The Lord God, He is the God. I'm here to tell you, the Lord God, He is the God. Don't be afraid to put Him to the test. Because if you never put Him to the test, you'll never see how magnificent He is. You need healing in your body today? Come on. Let's see if this God's real. I'll be a fool for Him. He's never let me down. I really, honestly, sir, I don't believe God is going to tell a lie today and let you down. You need healing in your body, don't you? I don't believe God's going to use you for the first example of a broken promise. And if you will believe Him, I'm not asking you to believe me, because I'm not a healer. Man, I can't heal a hangnail. But Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. We read about Him in this Word. We see what He did. He's here. He's still doing the same thing. He's still looking for somebody who will believe Him and take Him at His Word. Might as well be us. Have I got any takers? I don't even need to lay hands on you. I just want you to stand up. If you need healing in your body, just stand up. Father God in heaven, look at these people that are standing up, Father. Look upon these people and show Your name to be glorious. You are El Shaddai. You are Jehovah Rapha. Father God, you're the healer. You're Jehovah Jireh that provides. Father, we don't have a right to take away any of your holy names because you're still the same yesterday and today and forever. And Father God, we're putting forth the faith right now that you gave us, the measure of faith. Father God, I'm not going to lay hands on any of these people because I don't want them to think I healed them. I want you to touch them right now, Father God. Touch them according to their faith that you gave them. And Father God, we're going to proclaim your glory right now in Jesus' name. And we give you the praise in Jesus' name. Father, this is the one time we'll yell out because you are the victorious. And we praise you in Jesus' name for the victory of the cross. We praise you in Jesus' name for the blood of Jesus that forgave all our sins and healed all our diseases 2,000 years ago. And it's done, Father. And right now, Lord God, I send your word and I heal these people that need healing. And Father, glorify your name. We give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God, you just caught healing. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Let's give Jesus a shout. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. We love you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Thank you for purchasing teachings from Life Healing Ministries. We would like to also invite you to visit our website at www.lifehealingministries.org. And if this teaching has been a blessing to you, we would like to ask you to be a financial partner with Life Healing Ministries to help us to work together to take the gospel all over the world. You can reach us at area code 573-690-4367 anytime that you need prayer or counsel or any other thing that you need to contact us for. We're there for you. God bless you.